Welcome to Have Roots Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari, and I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. For those of you returning, you know what we're doing here. We are examining all Nefi Jahwa. For those of you new to the channel, just to let you know, we've got about, 600 to go or something, of mini biographies that we're doing on each of these king's daughters who are truly the founding mothers of not only Quebec, but in some cases, in many cases, North America. So I've been having such a blast, just going into detail about each of these filles du roi, and I just think it's amazing their contribution. And I get to travel back to where they're from, and I get to travel to where they settled and kind of explore all kinds of places. So with that being said, I would urge you to, subscribe if that's something that you, if this is a subject matter you would love to get to know more about, and also notifications. So when I come across a feature that is yours in particular that you're interested in, you will get alerted. And on that subject, make sure that if there is one fille du roi that you don't see, that you list her, that you tell me about which one you'd like, and I'll put her on my list of things, of people to do. At this point, I've done almost all my own fille du roi, and I'm looking to see what's next. So it's kind of like, okay, a grab bag of who am I going to select. Sometimes I hit upon a story that I really need to tell. But every now and again, and that's just really rare. They're all interesting stories to me on some level. So with that being said, let's get started. So Les Filles du Roi was a program started by Jean Talon in 1663. I go into great depth about this in a video that I produced called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0. It's on the playlist on my YouTube channel. So have a look at that. It gives you more of the ins and outs of the program and how it was founded and why it was founded. So have a look at that just to give you some perspective as to what your particular great grandmother would have gone through. So today's fille du roi is a viewer request. I also found her in my files under one of my dear, dear friends. So that was interesting to note as well. And her name, to pronounce it, is Anne Le Peu. Now, I may be saying it wrong, but I don't think it's Le Peu. There's no accent or anything like that. So I think it's Le Peu. Of course, in English, we would call it leper. So I prefer to pronounce it with the French way, much nicer. So let's have a look at Anne's story. So Anne was born in 1647, somewhere in Paris. We don't know the arrondissement, we don't know anything, and it may not have even been Paris, but I suspect it was, but time will tell. Her parents are unknown, and there'll be a reason why we don't know. That is all we've got information. Now, first recorded actual information on her, let's have a look. So we know that Anne sailed on the ship L'Espérance, which means the wish, the hope, and it arrived in Quebec City on September 3rd, 1673. That date is remarkable. Why? Because it was the actual last ship carrying fille du roi. By then, the program was 10 years old. There was really no need. There was enough babies being produced, enough marriages. It no longer was required, but she literally caught the last ship out. So on that level, that's pretty remarkable. So the groom she selected her, his name was François Pissonneau de Lafleur, and he was from the town of Saints. His parents are unknown, so we're really, batting 1,000 in terms of the, genealogy of these two. But currently, this town is the second largest city in the region of Charente-Maritime, with about 26,000 inhabitants in 2008. You can see on the map where it's located, the little red pin that is there. Its history, though, dates to the earliest times, from 20 BC, when its water duct was installed. The history of this area encompasses, when I started reading about it, it was just amazing. Invasions and battles and conquests and political uprising. The marriage of Eleanor of Aquitaine and Henry II meant that this area would now be owned by the English for about two centuries, and later given back or taken back by the French. The Abbey aux Dames, which literally means the woman's church or abbey, dates from the 11th century, and for many centuries until the French Revolution, it was a convent for women. And you can see it on the left of your screen. The amphitheater on your right, on the far right of your screen, dates from the first century AD and originally seated 15,000 people and was used for gladiator fights and other games. And then, of course, the church where he probably was baptized in still exists as well and dates from approximately the 13th century. So François arrived in New France as a soldier with the Carignan Regiment on the 12th of September, 1665, with the Saint Ours Company. And just to let you know, the names of these companies generally followed the man who was leading it, the leader of that. And in this case, there was a man with the last name of Saint Ours. So no marriage record has been found, but it is known that François and Anne married in a town called Saint-Ours. Remember I told you that was his commander. So they actually, I think they settled at Saint-Ours, and I was able to find in some old book an artist illustration of the first church that would have been built in 1670, I think it says 5. So, you know, I'm sure they married at somebody's house. Because the chapel wasn't even built by the time. They were truly, truly pioneers. So Anne and François would settle in Saint-Ours from 1673 to 1696. Here's a little history of Saint-Ours. And I have to be honest, I had not heard of this place before. And I lived in Quebec, obviously. It's just, you know, there's so many towns in Quebec. It's hard to know them all. The Seigneurie of Saint-Ours was given by Jean Tanot to Pierre de Saint-Ours, the officer of the regiment of Carignan-Saniard. Many of Pierre's counterparts in the Carignan regiment also received seigneuries. So here's, we'll listen, De Saul and Contrecoeur. You know, these are all names that Canadian or French Canadians know a lot about. And one of the first, the church registry was opened in 1681, and one of the first tenants to receive land was François Pissenou de La Fleur. This area was under fire from the Iroquois in 1691, and as such, the seigneurie grew very, very slowly. In fact, it was not until 1703 that a mill was built. This is perhaps the reason why Anne and François left this area in 1696 and moved to Longueuil for a time. So these are just illustrations of the church. We have a statue of Pierre Saint-Ours. We have the map where it is, where you can see Saint-Ours today in the middle section. And this one on the right is the actual seigneurial manor that still exists today. So let's have a look at the children that they created. They would have had 7 children. Pierre, their firstborn, married Marie Charlotte Lecour, and had 10 children, 8 of whom reached adulthood. Anne married Nicolas Brazeau and had 9 children, all of whom made it. Marguerite married Pierre Senecal and had 14 children, 11 of whom made it. Jean de Jacques married Marie-Elisabeth Bourassa, dit Mouquet, there's a mouthful, and had 15 children, 9 of whom reached adulthood. François did not marry, Agnes also did not marry, and Marie-Anne died in infancy. I also want to point out, I did a little bit of research on François and Agnes. Sometimes when they don't marry, it is a question that they go into the priesthood or they become a nun. So this is also, an interesting, and there is a website out there that only deals with, if you can believe it, the clergy of Quebec. So you can actually go on there and see the listing. So if this is your family and you want to explore more, there absolutely, and I'll post a link to that as well, okay? So the family does settle at La Prairie at one point, just a little bit of history about La Prairie, literally means the meadow, and was first given to the Jesuits in 1667. The seigneurie would develop slowly, but by 1687 it had both a flour and a sawmill, and in 1691 the lumber would act as a barrier to an attack from the mercenaries who came from New England. A short time later, a small wooden church was built, so we have an illustration of it as well. So Anne and François would remain at La Prairie until the end of their days. On July 22nd, this is really interesting, 1724, they jointly gave all their possessions to their children with the proviso that they be taken care of for the remainder of their lives. François would be the first to pass away on January 26, 1731. Anne and François would have been married an astonishing 51 years, just truly amazing. François was 77 at the time of his death, and Anne would pass away almost 1 year later to the day on January 29, 1732, at the remarkable age of 76. You can imagine, these are the two death records, and we have their burial places. And so ends another remarkable biography. I love this one because of its simplicity. She comes, you know, from nowhere, essentially, and gets off the last boat, marries a man. They both survive. They have children who have children. They build land and they settle in one area. Then they go to another area. So they were really pioneers of both La Prairie and in Saint-Ourse. So I love the story of that. It's just, there was no, as far as we know, I'm sure there was, but we don't know, you know, any other thing, but this is how they lived. And the descendancy, by 1729, there were 84 descendants just of this one couple. They didn't have that many children, but it was definitely fruitful and multiplied. Now, it would be interesting to know at one point, because of the deep name, La Fleur is a very common name in Quebec. Pissano as well, but La Fleur truly is. So it would be interesting to know if, when and if the La Fleur took over as well. But that's a subject for another day. But until then, until number, I think we're going to be doing number 58 next. So until then, I bid you adieu and au revoir until the next time.